to talk about the great lights on Broadway here in just a moment. It's 7 after 9, and Ted will be back. If you're in a car right now and heading in, especially in the northern areas because of the strikes we've had and the extra traffic, Ted will have further updates in just a few moments on WMCA. In fact, he's here right now. Is Ted here now? Ted, you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Well, give us the story now, then.
Okay, good enough. Here and raring to go right now on the Cross Westchester Expressway, extra slow in both directions, but it is usable. The southbound Hutch and the New England Thruway, decent considering the extra volume of traffic and also the road conditions. By the way, very lucky this morning. Slippery roadways, but no major accidents. You've done great. Continue that job. Westbound on the Cross Bronx, we are still jammed, but right now it's a little better than the Bruckner system, although I still suggest a sneaky alternate down the Throgs Neck Bridge, down the Cross Island Parkway, then in on the Grand Central and over the Triborough Bridge and down local streets into Midtown. The southbound 87 approach to the city extremely heavy and slow down to the 230s, but then below that, the Major Deegan is better than the Harlem River Drive from the GW to the Triborough, also better than the Henry Hudson West Side Highway combination down to the George Washington Bridge. On that Henry Hudson West Side Highway, we're backed up from above Dyckman Street down through the construction zone. If you're on it already, I would stick with it. Don't use Riverside Drive. That's a tough alternate. Then hop off the West Side Highway at 79th and take local streets. And if you're on the Deegan, stay to your far left or far right from the 207th Street Bridge down to the 160s, and you'll do decently. We will have at least one more, and maybe more than that. Ralph and Ryan?
Thanks, Teddy. Just one note on the Deegan. That orange Beetle that's been parked off to the side of the road north of Jerome Avenue as you're southbound, the driver's door was open again this morning. All last week, the driver's door was open. Saturday morning, I passed it. The driver's door was closed. Now it's open again.
Is that a monument or something?
I don't know. I think maybe somebody's camping out there. I don't know.
Say, Ted, did you know that Yankee Stadium is getting diamond vision like they do at Shea?
No.
Well, they are.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it.
I would like to hear that.
All right, so listen.
I will, no problem.
The WMCA, 10 minutes after 9. That's Ted Politek. He will be back. No word of any problems in Subway's Long Island Railroad fast trains, and well, the other trains just aren't running. Thomas Starr is here with Art Crass Strauss, the folks who've built most of the signs, maybe all of the signs on Broadway from the old, was it Kemmel? It was Kemmel,
right? I'm sorry, Tama, I know you've got new ones, but that's my favorite of all time, that fella blowing smoke rings on Broadway.
We talked with Tama for a few minutes back at New Year's Eve when they dropped the Big Apple because her organization, Art Crass Strauss, is involved in that and has been. As a matter of fact, let's mention that right now. You were involved in the first time it ever happened. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning, Ralph. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
This year we dropped the Big Apple in Times Square, and that was a very exciting thing, something new. And in fact, tomorrow night, when we light the Newman Alta sign, we're going to drop the apple again.
Oh, you are?
So that's a New York event. That's going to mark things from now on as being really a part of New York.
So we'll see that more often then, the dropping of the apple.
It looks like.
Oh, good. I just want to go back, though. I did mention that your grandfather, if I got that right, was involved in the dropping of the ball.
Well, that's right. That's right. My grandfather invented the first ball that we dropped in at New Year's of 1907, and it was substantially the same one that you see every year now, except that last year we changed it to an apple by changing the lamps to red and putting on some green leaves and stem.
Sure.
Tama, I'm curious. 1907 was the first. Was lighting, outdoor lighting, a family business?
Art Crass Strauss has been doing this kind of work since 1897.
You know, that...
And in fact, the first electric spectacular in New York was that same year, in 1897. Mm. And of course, at that time, there were only incandescent lamps. Mm-hmm. Neon didn't come in until the 20s.
Right. But it goes back that far.
It goes back that far. Well, my grandfather was one of the first people to see the application of neon to large outdoor displays.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much started it out in this country.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a moment ago, Thomas Starr is with us on WMCA about the Minolta, which is a new sign going up in Times Square.
That's the latest ornament on the Great White Way. Mm-hmm.
What's it going to do?
The background of the sign is white. It's a grid of white neon tubing. And in the middle is a big Minolta logo. Mm-hmm. And it says cameras, copiers, and video, and it says Minolta. And the animated portion is that the background will sweep on and sweep off. And the writing will change from blue to white, depending on the background, whether it's on or off. And it'll flash the logo. But it's actually much more low-key type of display than we used to do in the old days. Some of those things from the the Camel era.
Mm-hmm.
We're very, very animated. We do cartoon things.
Yeah.
And this is a more low-key kind of display, although it's going to be very bright. That Minolta sign has 3 miles of neon tubing and over 5 miles of wire.
I wouldn't want their Con Ed bill.
Three. What does it take? I mean, is it the same kind of electricity the rest of us use? I mean, the same kind of plug it in and on it goes, right?
It's the same kind of electricity, although neon light is more efficient than incandescent light. So you get the same amount of lumens or brightness from a little bit less electricity. But it's true that you could light a big mansion with what it takes to light that sign.
Mm. Are there any colors you can't or choose not to use in putting together a sign?
Well, there are so many ways to get different colors on the neon. For one thing, it depends on what kind of gas you fill the tubing with, and then it depends on the color of the tubing itself and whether there's a phosphor on the inside of the tubing. So by combining different kinds of gases with different colors of tubing, there's really quite a lot of flexibility, many, many colors. As for what we don't use, there are some colors that are fairly rare because they're very hard to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain colors of glass that are only made in Europe now. There's a certain ruby red, and this is more rare, but of course we can work with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You say it depends on what gas you use. Do you use things other than neon?
Neon makes all the red colors that you see, the reds and oranges and the bright pinks.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get the blues, greens, whites, and yellows, we use argon with mercury.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, we want to talk about Diamond Vision, too, in just a moment at Yankee Stadium. 914 at WMCA. Thomas Starr is with us.
For 50 years, Newsweek has covered the people who make the news. Now, in the Newsweek 50th Anniversary Collector's Issue, we celebrate the men and women who live the news. This extraordinary saga of five real families is more compelling than fiction. It is the true story of America, of these families, of all our families. The Newsweek 50th Anniversary Issue. It's our anniversary, but it's your story. On sale now.
Solgar Natural Vitamins bring you 60 Seconds on Nutrition, researched by the renowned biochemist Richard A. Passwater and presented with family in mind. But first, your best personal security is Solgar's VM75, the all-inclusive vitamin mineral supplement containing every ingredient essential to good health. The Solgar Vitamin Company, creators of VM75, believe this to be the finest multivitamin mineral made for those who wish to take only one vitamin each day. Solgar's VM75 in the most exacting potencies, obtainable without prescription. Look for the large V on the distinctive gold label directly beneath the Solgar name. VM75, only at health food stores, where nutrition is foremost, and Solgar VM75 is second to none. And now, 60 Seconds on Nutrition.
In our last broadcast, we discussed the differences between men and women, making them equal but not the same. Women have a higher fat-to-muscle ratio and hormonal differences than men. The extra layer of fat under the skin makes a woman more buoyant in water, less susceptible to heat loss, and more efficient at producing energy over sustained aerobic exercise. Because women have smaller hearts, lower oxygen-carrying capacity, and a lower volume of blood, women generally have a lower aerobic capacity than men. Aerobic capacity can be defined as the amount of oxygen consumed during a maximal but brief exercise session tested on the treadmill or bike. Female enzyme systems are geared to burn fat more efficiently, and the result is more sustained energy during long endurance type activities. Women have lighter frames than men of the same height, and their hearts, with training, can become as strong as a man's. They also have the ability to utilize high octane fuel in the form of fat. Therefore, men and women are equal, but not necessarily the same.
Listen for our next 60 Seconds on Nutrition, presented by Solgar Vitamins, the natural way to better health. Researched by Richard A. Passwater, director of the Solgar Nutritional Research Center.
Here's an important health message from WMCA Call for Action. If you're a smoker, you could be among the lucky ones who may not get cancer. But if you ever have to face surgery, your life could be in jeopardy because of your congested lungs. If you really want to quit smoking but need help, ask the American Cancer Society about free or low-cost stop smoking clinics.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob Grant. We get together every day, Monday through Friday, at 4 in the afternoon, right here on WMCA. WMCA, that's our radio home. But what about people who don't have a home of any kind? We're going to talk to a man who has written a diary of a homeless man. A man who literally had to sleep in doorways, on the sidewalks, in alleys. It's a gripping story that we'll share with you when we next meet, right here on WMCA, New York, New York.
And we're glad you're with Ralph Howard and Bill Ryan now, the Ralph and Ryan program on WMCA, 18 after 9. Thomas Starr is here, Art Kraft Strauss. We talked a few minutes ago about the new Minolta sign that will be lit on Broadway. And I want to talk about the Diamond Vision sign, which many of us have seen at Shea. They're on television or at Shea Stadium with the Mets. But Yankee Stadium's about to get Diamond Vision, too.
This
for the season.
This is a fabulous thing. I guess you've seen it at Shea. It's the world's largest TV. And
is it going to be larger than Shea's?
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
It's about 30 feet by 40 feet. And I was up there on Saturday and saw the installation. And this is an amazing thing. It comes in three boxcars that come all the way from Japan, all wrapped up beautifully, just like a camera. And
with the guarantee card, too?
With the guarantee card and the silica gel, everything. And these three boxcars are lifted one by one and just slid right into place. We made all the framing for this over at the shop at Art Kraft. And when these giant things, they weigh 33,000 pounds each. And when they drop them in there, it slid in just like a little block of wood or something. It's absolutely marvelous. So the whole thing weighs 50 tons. And it's amazing how bright this thing is. Mm-hmm.
It really is television. I mean, I saw them in the studio at Shea Stadium. Mm-hmm. It's really just like if you went to Channel 5, 7, whatever it might be, and they operate the scoreboard just like they do a television
station.
That's
right. That control room would actually put a lot of professional video studios to shame. They have three-quarter-inch machines, and they can do just anything. They can edit and completely make their own shows there.
Mm-hmm. That's Mitsubishi, isn't it?
Yes, it's made by Mitsubishi.
Yeah.
And and they send it over, not quite ready to plug in, but practically, practically.
So your role was really to make the cabinet for it, so to speak.
Yes, we made the cabinet, and also this was kind of special. This was different from Shea in that we could not install it from inside the stadium. We had to go through the roof of Yankee Stadium in order to put it in place. If you've seen the scoreboard, you know that it's back against the wall, and there's the roof right over it. So we had to take out some seats, we had to remove some of the fresco that's up above it, and remove the roof. We had a big giant crane, a 200-foot crane, and just slid these things in right through the roof into place, and now we're going to put the roof back on.
Hmm. Now there's another sign that's coming, but this will be across the river in Jersey City, and I stopped by the other day on my way home just to look, and the large C for Colgate is... I'm trying to think how big. I have no idea. I mean, it looks like
it's a capital C,
sure,
though, right?
Mm-hmm. It's darn awfully big, put it that way.
Yeah, this thing is enormous. What we're making now for that landmark sign, which has that 50-foot clock on the left, we took off the letters, and we're making a replica of a Colgate toothpaste tube. And this toothpaste tube is going to be 150 feet long. That's as long as a 15-story building is tall. And then it'll be about 45 feet tall as a 4-story building. But laying down on its side, it's going to look just like a regular Colgate toothpaste tube, only it's made out of aluminum. And we're building that in sections in our shop right now.
Tommy, do you have, excuse me, any idea how big the cap is for the toothpaste tube? I'm just thinking if somebody leaves the cap off.
If somebody leaves the cap off, the cap is about 16 feet long.
They won't miss it.
About 12 feet wide.
Yeah.
Now this, you can't leave that in the sink.
No. Now this will have like spotlights on it?
It'll have 3,400-watt spotlights. And they'll be all adjusted to get an even color over the whole over the whole tube.
Now I'm trying to think just where we would be seeing that. I mean, where is that across from Manhattan, roughly?
In Tribeca.
Tribeca.
You can see it from the World Trade Center.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be very bright, very lovely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Minolta, because we were talking about the Minolta going up. Well, it's already up, but being officially lit tomorrow. Whereabouts in Times Square?
Now that's at the south end of the square on the number one Times Square building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that building, so that's in a very important spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly going to be one of the brightest signs on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. About the animation, is there any reason why we're not seeing that? Like Bill talked about it earlier when we got started talking with Thomas Starr here in WMCA. Is it just that the advertisers don't feel that's effective for them anymore? Or is it just too complicated? Or
well, maybe tastes have changed and styles have changed. So perhaps they go more for a more simple design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still very large, and it still has animated effects. In fact, now they're electronic. We're doing the same effects that we used to do mechanically. But the cartoon figures, we don't see very much of that anymore. Although we may see more of it. Now there seems to be a renaissance of neon. People are starting to appreciate it again.
Oh, mm-hmm. There's a shop right across from us here on 57th Street. A lot of neon in the window. It's an art-type store. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people decorate with neon
now. People are starting to keep it in their homes now. There's a much greater acceptance of it. It seemed to go out for a while when plastics came in. The big rage was to have a plastic sign. And in fact, we'd make neon and then cover it with a translucent plastic face so it would have that nice plastic look. Mm-hmm. Now I'm glad to say...
I never thought I'd hear anybody say that nice plastic look.
Mm. Well, they liked it, and so we built it. But yeah. I'm glad to see people going more to neon again.
Do you do any of the bank signs that give you the time and the temperature?
We have time and temperature signs that we install on some of our big displays.
Right. What I'm getting at is, are any companies turning around now and saying, yes, we want a time and temperature sign, forget Celsius. Nobody knows from Celsius, we don't even want it.
Gee, I think that they're going more towards it.
Are they?
I'd like to see alternating temperature mm-hmm. in Fahrenheit and in Celsius. Mm-hmm. I think that's how people are picking up the translation in their minds.
Mm-hmm. Just in general in science, this is more the advertising company side of it, but as far as response rate, do you have any thoughts or do you happen to know, I mean, how long we look at a sign or any figures on that?
Well,
the effectiveness?
Well, I know that it's the only advertising medium that people actually seek out for viewing. When people go to Times Square, they actually look at these
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And actually what happens is the brightness of it, the light attracts people, and you forget that it's really advertising and you just watch the colors wiping on and off, and it's kind of hypnotic.
Hmm.
And people will stare at them for several seconds, not for minutes at a time, but for 30 or 40 seconds.
Hmm. You mentioned that it's hypnotic. Are there different rhythms of the changing of the lights that you might use for different advertisers? Would a sign for a car company be different from that for a watch company or Minolta, a camera company?
Well, in general, the advertiser or their advertising agency will have very strong aesthetic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see a certain effect that's smooth or fast or slow. And we'll work with them to adjust the timing. That's what we'll be doing on the Minolta sign this afternoon and tomorrow morning, getting the timing the way they'd like to see it.
Mm-hmm. Thomas Starr is with us, Art Crash Strauss, the big sign makers. One time I called up to check on something, and you mentioned about a large peacock that was being made for somebody. Can you tell us about
that? This summer, we made a huge revolving peacock for Dagazau Carpets in Nigeria. And we built that entire sign and tested it out in the shop and then shipped it off to Nigeria. But, of course, shipping is slow, and we haven't heard that it's arrived yet. They have engineers over there that mm-hmm. will install it.
But I thought it was not just for one person. It's for a company, then.
It's for, Dagazau is a very big company mm-hmm. in Nigeria. And they have oil and their construction business, and they're installing this peacock is about 40 feet in diameter, and the tail opens and closes with all different colors of neon.
Wow.
And the whole thing revolves, and it has twinkling lamps on the bottom. It's really a very spectacular piece.
Does NBC know about this?
Not yet.
The light bulbs in some of the signs, are they just sort of like the light bulbs we have at home?
They are. In many cases, they're only 15 or 25 watts because we have so many of them. But otherwise, they're just ordinary light bulbs.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a regular changing time? I'm sure you people can just drive around and say, whoops, there's a light bulb out. I'll climb up 10 stories and change it. I mean, do you have a regular maintenance schedule?
Yes, we have someone who goes around every single night and checks every sign. And mm-hmm. He'll come in the morning and he'll give us the report that the such and such sign has 19 lamps out, or the Panasonic sign needs a new light on the temperature unit, or Coca-Cola needs one piece. And so we have the spares, and in the morning we go around and repair them according to his report.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whatever happened to the camel sign?
Where is it now? It was only a painted board over this
But you had that great machine behind that blew smoke rings.
That was steam from Con Edison.
Was it really? Just hooked right into their system?
That's right. They had they sold us the steam and mm-hmm. we put the sign over it. People always ask about that sign. That seems to stand out as the great classic, although my own personal favorite was the Bond waterfall.
That's the one I was going to ask about, the waterfall over the Bond store.
That
yep.
was a waterfall 220 feet wide and 60 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. That was lovely.
Real waterfall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the most spectacular.
Mm-hmm. As did I, but Bill remembers a camel, which I remember, but what others? I'm trying to think of some of the other big ones. Can you think of one, Bill or Tama?
Well, Anheuser-Busch had a fabulous sign that was... that was in Times Square, and this was animated Clydesdale horses with the Budweiser wagon, And above it was the Budweiser Flying Eagle and the letter A. And in order to make that sign, we took movies of the Clydesdale horses and broke that down into an animation sequence to make the neon. And they also released an eagle in Madison Square Garden. This was before you could get all these photographs of eagles in flight. They had to actually get an eagle and photograph him in Madison Square Garden and take that and make the animation sequence from those photographs.
The other one I can remember, and it was, in my memory, just a sign. There was a Seagram sign at the north end of Times Square. I think it was on the building where Castro Convertibles is now.
Canadian Club was on.
Was it Canadian?
With the most animation effects of any sign. It had herringbones and checkerboards and sweeps and circles and all kinds of fabulous effects on that particular building.
My memory is fuzzy because I was too young to drink then.
One other question, Tom. How long does it take to make something like the Minolta sign that's going up?
It takes probably a few weeks or maybe as much as 2 months of fabrication in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then installation is a couple of weeks, too.
Mm, pretty tricky.
It's tricky, but we're very well coordinated. We have the most wonderful group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely fabulous, and they're terrific craftsmen. And they seem to take a lot of pride in it because these things work beautifully.
That's a special kind of work, sure. Tama, thank you. Thank you very much for the update.
Oh, thank you.
Tama Starr with Artcraft Strauss. They're in Manhattan. People put up the big signs.
Is there still a broken heart for every light on Broadway?
We say there's a broken light for every heart on Broadway.
Listen to the sound of sweet Passover wine. Pleasant.